right, guys, welcome to American Contractor Show. I am so excited that you're here today joining us as we dive into the world of contracting and help you guys out today. And this is all about you guys. Our entire mission is to equip, inspire, and motivate contractors to become all that they can be, because we know that you guys are the ones that are building America and making this nation the best that it is. And so I'm so excited to get to speak to you today to hopefully give you guys some news, keep you informed, and some cool things that will help your business become all that it can be. Huge shout out to our sponsors that make this show possible week after week. And those are Infinity Home Services, IHS. Their entire mission is to rid the world of unscrupulous contractors. We just had a cool interview with Josh Sparks that went live last night. He was in the studio, and we're going to share some of that conversation, actually a piece of that conversation that's not part of it. We got some other stuff as well that we shot with you later today, but check them out. IHS is doing some cool stuff. We have a link in our show notes that gets you a free evaluation for your business, and you guys want to find out what your business is worth and if private equity is the right move for you. They'd love to have a conversation with you about that. We'd love to help you guys. So check that out. Also, a huge shout out to JobNimbus. JobNimbus is amazing. It is the top CRM for contractors. You guys have got to check out JobNimbus and what they're doing. You want to stay tuned to the end of this episode when we share some of the peak performance report that JobNimbus has, which is an amazing report that they have put out throughout the years that gives them a lot of key metrics that contractors may not know about. They've surveyed them, they've found out all these answers, and they produced this amazing peak performance report. We have a link to it in the comments here of this video, so make sure to hit that peak performance report and download one for yourself, and we'll hit on a part of that later on at the end of the episode. Also, a huge shout out to Rilla. Rilla is the ultimate sales management tool that allows you to ride along with your sales reps as they do in-home presentations and figure out what they do well and what they may need some help with. It's an amazing tool that allows you to get feedback instantly as to what is going on inside of those sales conversations. So check out Rilla. It's a really cool tool, and I'm really excited that they're a part of the show now. They're doing some amazing stuff. And then my favorite friends over at Hailtrace. You guys got to go check out Hailtrace. We're going to have them here today. But in the meantime, if you're looking for where the storms hit this last week, go check out Hailtrace. They've got amazing maps and opportunities to connect you to your customers that you are looking for. If you are in the storm restoration industry and do a lot of storm work, you guys got to connect with Hailtrace. They're the best in the business. All right, guys, let's dive in. I've got some amazing news for you today. There's a lot of pieces that have come out over the last week, and we're going to share some things. We have some big news. But in the meantime, I want to share a couple things, though, real quick. This came out of the New York Post, and it has to do with the changing temperatures here. As we know, summer is right around the corner. It's starting to warm up. Some areas it's gotten very warm already, but the city of Phoenix actually passed a heat ordinance to protect contractors. That's right. They are now legislating contractors when it comes to heat. And I know heat's a big deal because I've worked in the summers. I know it's not the easiest time of year to be out in the field, especially if you're doing tough work like landscaping or roofing or siding, exterior work. Anything that's outside in the summertime is a bear. And so they have essentially created a new ordinance within the city of Phoenix regarding contractors. And essentially it's enacted, they amended the city code to protect contractors from heat-related illnesses and injuries. The ordinance passed unanimously by the Phoenix City Council, and it mandates that city contractors and subcontractors with outdoor workers, develop a written heat safety plan. The essential requirements of a heat safety plan is that they must provide free, sanitized, easy accessible, cool drinking water for all employees and contract work. They must also permit workers to take regular and necessary breaks, including hydration breaks. They must ensure that they have access to air conditioning and or shady areas. And they must also... they're also going to start requiring that vehicles with enclosed cabs have air conditioning, and that has to be done by May 1st, 2025. They're also going to be implementing effective acclimatization practices, and they must require that contractors and subcontractors provide training that is accessible and easy to understand for all employees and contract workers. This ordinance followed a state emphasis program in Arizona that requires employers create plans to reduce the risk of heat-related illnesses and injuries, and it's also in response to last summer's heat waves across the U.S. The Department of Labor reminded employers to protect workers from heat conditions. Good stuff, but despite efforts, there was no federal heat specific mandates that were put into place by OSHA. But at the same time, experts are suggesting that people in HR and employers make sure that they put together some sort of heat plan for their employees to make sure that it does reduce heat related illnesses and injuries. Heat's a big deal, and it's nice to see that there's people taking a concern with the employees' safety and the workers' safety to make sure that things remain cool. So, yeah, get that. Things remain cool. So, all right. In other news, this one came out of Florida. All right. Of course, whenever you hear the term Florida, man, you know this one's going to be good. But this one's a little interesting. Not necessarily a great story, but came out of Florida, and it has to do with a contractor. There was a business owner in Florida that was arrested and accused of human trafficking. That's right. He was arrested, accused of human trafficking. And it's his name is Raymond Smith. His company is G&G Roofing. He is the owner, and it's based out of Rockledge, Florida. And he's accused of illegally transporting undocumented migrants to the Bahamas to work on his personal property in Lubbers Cay. The federal criminal complaint by the Department of Homeland Security alleges that Smith arranged for the migrants to be transported by boat to avoid detection and the need for legal documentation required for air travel into the United States. They transported individuals were employees of G&G Roofing. In the complaint, Smith implied that he believed his company followed all proper hiring protocols, and they've been in business for 17 years and employ between 80 and 100, 100 people. A source involved in the federal case reported seeing workers without proper documents at the Bahamas property multiple times. Federal agents conducted surveillance on Smith's home on the Indian River Lagoon and followed his boat on April 19th, and they intercepted the boat, finding four Hondurans on board, three of whom had pending immigration cases and one with an active removal order since 2018. The company has declined to comment and referred all inquiries to his lawyer. Interesting case. You know, he's obviously moving employees around. Maybe did know. But at the end of the day, he's being accused of human trafficking at this point, which is a federal level offense. And be interesting to see how that one plays out and how that goes when it comes to the actual allegations here. So, but like I said, those are allegations. He's been accused. He has a right. So we'll find out exactly what is going on there and how that pans out. So, all right. In other news, this one's the big hot topic last week. This one came, I was out of town and I got a notice on this one. So we put out a quick video, but this was a big deal. FTC has chosen to ban non-competes, and we're going to get into this a little later on with Josh Sparks. But I wanted to at least touch on some key articles and some key points of this real quick before we get too deep into this. But the FTC has essentially said that non-competes are no longer valid in the United States. It's an FTC rule. They voted 3-2 to ban non-competes, and this affects approximately 30 million currently bound by these agreements. Reasons for the ban. The FTC argues that non-compete agreements hinder the labor market, and they discourage entrepreneurship and suppress wages. The ban is part of the 2021 executive order on promoting competition in the American economy. Non-compete agreements have already been banned in states like California, North Dakota, and Oklahoma for over a century, and many states have recently prohibited them for low-wage and hourly workers. So this new rule is going to take effect in 120 days, making new non-compete agreements illegal and rendering most existing non-competes unenforceable, except for senior executives defined by the specific income and role criteria. FTC estimates that this rule will result in $400 billion in new wages for workers over the next decade and the formation of approximately 8,500 new businesses and a rise in innovation. Healthcare cost reduction is also a big part of this as well. Projected reductions in healthcare costs between $74 to $194 billion over 10 years due to fewer workers being unemployed between jobs. Business groups are opposing this heavily, and some FTC commissioners argue that the FTC is actually overstepping its authority and harming competitiveness. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce plans to challenge the rule in court, citing a potential breach of what is called the Major Questions Doctrine, which requires congressional support for significant regulatory changes, and this is going to potentially get all the way up to the Supreme Court. So we'll talk more about this later on. We'll get some insight from Josh Sparks about this and what he said, what he sees as far as these non-competes go and what his company is experiencing. And we'll touch on this a little bit more. But anyways, that's our news for this week. That's the major stories that you guys need to keep up with. There's a lot of stuff happening and there's some things going on that we'll keep you informed on. If it hits, we'll try our best to include that in the episode. We always love tips. So let us know if you guys see something cool or hear something interesting that might be of good to other contractors. We'd love to hear it here on American Contractor Show and share it out with you guys. So anyways, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a lot about the tornadoes from last week. And I have a very special guest with us. Derek Klein, the CEO and founder of Hail Trace, is with us, a great friend of ours. He's going to break down what these tornadoes mean and what we can expect the rest of the season. So stay tuned and we'll be right back after this. As a sales leader, you know the importance of every customer interaction. So let me introduce you to Rilla, a powerful tool designed to enhance your team's in-home sales presentations. Rilla records and analyzes your team's interactions, providing detailed feedback that helps pinpoint strengths and identify areas for improvement. It's like having an expert sales coach available 24/7, ensuring your team performs at their best. With Rilla, watch your sales numbers soar as your team closes more deals efficiently. Don't wait to upgrade your sales strategy. Visit the Rilla link in the comments or show notes to discover how Rilla can revolutionize your team's performance. Hey there, guys. Let's take a second to shine a spotlight on an incredible opportunity for all you hardworking contractors. We're thrilled to have Infinity Home Services on board this season. If you have yet to hear about Infinity, you gotta pay attention to this. Infinity Home Services is not just any roofing contractor. It's a powerhouse backed by private equity, and they're revolutionizing the way we think about roofing services. But here's the best part. They're looking to partner with ambitious contractors that are ready to take their business to the next level. So imagine having the support, the resources, and the expertise of a leading industry player on your side. And because they're all about adding value, Infinity Home Services offers a free, no strings attached evaluation of your business. Click the link in the comments or the show notes and you could be on your way to unlocking incredible growth opportunities. Don't let this chance slip by. Sign up today for your free evaluation. All right, guys, welcome back. Last week was pretty crazy. If you guys have been paying attention to the social medias in the world, we had some huge storms, and I'm excited that Derek Klein is joining us to kind of help us break it down, star of the new Twister film. Let me welcome Derek Klein to the episode. Derek, man, welcome.
How's it going?
It's going well. Is this a shot from the movie or no?
No, it's not from the movie, but it's okay. It's pretty cool. This is a real life shot, so this is not movie.
That's a real one. I'm sure you guys had a blast last week, though.
It was a busy week last week. Especially, you know, a lot the last several years, it seems like we call it Dixie Alley has been the location of all the tornadoes, right? So Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia's had quite a few. This was the first time in probably 5 years, five, six, maybe even more than that, that the plains came alive with tornadoes. So we had Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, parts of North Texas. The typical tornado alley went and did its thing for the first time. It was a multi-day tornado outbreak. So
it was pretty wild. And I was watching videos and reading posts from people online, and it looked like it was just an insane few days of tornadoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were, the first day started out with tornadoes in Nebraska and Iowa. We had multiple at minimum EF3, which we consider violent tornadoes. I don't know if all the surveys have come in. I know there were a couple that, in our estimation, based off of what we saw on radar, that we thought were probably moving up on that EF4 range. Almost the top end, up in Nebraska. And then the same thing happened in Oklahoma, on day two. I know one in Oklahoma has already been rated an EF4, down in southern Oklahoma across I-35. I know it hit the Dollar General plant that's down there. I actually saw one of the crazier videos that I saw, was someone, so they're driving up I-35, I assume northbound, and you can, I don't know if they were a storm chaser or just a random person, I assume a storm chaser with how close they were to the tornado. But you see lightning and you see the tornado crossing the highway. And then, I mean, just like, I mean, you said the movie Twister, but this just like something you would see in Twister, at an 18 wheeler just boom, crashes out of the sky right on the interstate right next to him. And you're like, what the heck? I was like, that has to
be. You like drove off into the road, right? Off the road?
Yeah.
Is that what you did? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's one of the crazy. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, for a tornado to take an 18 wheeler and get it that high, to where it just kind of falls out of the sky like that, because the winds weren't strong enough where they were, obviously, to pick them up or to blow them. So it basically got taken and thrown, and that was just the falling point, which is
that's crazy.
Pretty crazy to see some of that. I know, you know, we've seen stories already of the Holdenville tornado, Holdenville, Oklahoma tornado. They found photos of people that their homes were hit in Owosso, which is north of Tulsa. That's probably like a 80 or 90 mile track. So, you know, photos making it 90 miles. You know, so there's reasons why that happens, but some crazy stuff. There've been some fatalities, unfortunately, which is the sad part, but, you know, here at Hell Trace, we're proud to say that we do our part to help in the recovery effort, not only with contractors, but so all of the tornado paths, all the tornadoes that happen, we live feed them via API into FEMA's database. And FEMA then knows exactly where to go to respond so they can respond as quick as possible. So, you know, when FEMA shows up in Elkhorn, Nebraska, or Sulphur, Oklahoma, or Holdenville, or whatever tornado you're looking at, they find that, like, we give them our estimated intensity and then the exact path of the tornado, and that's how they know where to go respond and where to put resources at.
That's wild to think of how involved Hail Trace is now to that level with the government, with all the different agencies about it. I mean, you guys employ quite a few meteorologists, right?
Yeah, I want to say 13 is where we're at with meteorologists. We're getting ready to hire our 40th employee now. So, you know, the company's growing, and it's doing things. But, you know, it goes back to the passion that our team has with weather. Like, we just love weather. So we come in and they have to, if I'm being honest, if you saw some of the hours that they have to put in
right
during this time of year, I mean, it's absurd, right? Like, I mean, a lot of these tornadoes have been happening at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. Somebody's got
to
be up.
Which is probably the worst time for a tornado to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I think, Oklahoma is probably one of the more prepared locations. You know, the TV stations here had storm chasers out all over the place all night long tracking the storms, and they, you know, they're doing live coverage and they've got videos of the tornadoes and exact locations of them, better than any other market in the country. So, you know, I mean, you hate to have them in Oklahoma, but if we're going to have the big tornadoes, Oklahoma is going to handle it the best. But even here, you know, there's some fatalities that happen, right? Like, there's just 1 o'clock in the morning, you live in a mobile home, you get woke up. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You don't want to be in the mobile home, but do you have time to get somewhere else?
Yeah, it's wild. Hey, let's show some videos here. I know we've got some videos of the tornadoes. Let's get this a chance to queue up, but we'll just kind of play these in the background as we're talking some more, because I think there's a lot, you know, to discuss here. But yeah, these tornadoes were intense. And yeah, I've never quite seen anything like them either, but I'm sure you have.
I have. Yeah, I've been close just like this to some tornadoes a few times. So I can tell you he's on the north side of the tornado. Both of these videos, actually, they're on the north side. You can just tell by the circulation. So they're in a spot. It's called the Bear's Cage. It's my favorite spot to chase. I love chasing in the Bear's Cage. Yeah, this is good. Obviously you hate to see the destruction, right? But I mean, look at the raw power. The interesting about tornadoes is how close you can get. Wow, look at that. I haven't seen this one. This one's new. This one's sped up. This is fast forwarded though. Okay. I don't know if you knew that, but I can tell you that one's definitely sped up as well. That's cool though. I mean, look how cool that is. That's not cool for some people, but
no, I mean, it's definitely impressive. Like you can't deny that. I like the guy standing on the truck though.
I've seen people driving down the road through sunroofs before, which is
just to look at tornadoes.
Right.
Man. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So see, like you can see how, especially at the bottom, and what's interesting about tornadoes, right? So, you know, like, let's say this tornado has like maybe the velocity. Wow. That's like Nebraska violence, or not Nebraska, Andover, Kansas, the tornado. We have some pretty cool video from that. Now this is straight line winds. Pretty powerful. There's tornado again. This is coming right at him, isn't it?
It looks like it.
Is he on a train? What is he on?
Yeah, I think he's on a train. Oh, it's cool. It's an engineer.
Yeah, this is cool. I haven't seen this one. Now I'm curious what's going to happen here. I don't think it's a strong tornado, but I don't think it's going to flip the train. We'll see. Can it flip it? I mean, I've seen them flip trains before.
But an engine's got to
wait. Oh, how cool is that? What'd you get down for, man? Oh, really? Okay. I'll give it to him. Yeah, but it won't flip a train. They're too heavy, which is great. So what's interesting, though, so like you see a tornado, right? And they say the winds were 140 miles an hour. And then you go look at a hurricane that had 140 mile an hour winds, and the damage is different. Right. Like not damage in a 140 mile an hour hurricane is pretty intense, but it's still not what a 140 mile per hour tornado is. And if you look at a couple of things that are different. So the first thing, so like if you watch this tornado, the air is going up. So it's not only just it's not just horizontal, it's also vertical. So everything is lifting. It's
sucking things up. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's suction. And so that change, like, right, like we build things to take a horizontal wind, not a vertical. So think about, you know, your roof, right? And gets under the eave, like your roof wasn't designed to have something pull up on it.
Right.
You know, your garage door, your windows, they were designed to take a wind like this, not like this. So that's a big difference. And you know, we could probably have an engineer or even a contractor come on and talk about where that weakness comes from. That's not my specialty necessarily. But the other thing too is the violent nature and how quick the wind speed changes. So you know, you can be 300 or 400 yards from a pretty strong tornado, and your winds are only 30 or 40 miles an hour. But as soon as the tornado gets there, it goes from 30 or 40 to 150 instantly, you know, and in a hurricane, it's more of a gradual increase. And then, you know, but the difference in a hurricane is you can see the real upward motion in that video right there in a tornado. But that's what really, really makes these just completely different. Thankfully, they're small, so they don't hit a lot of people. Typically, even a mile wide tornado is small compared to, you know, a hurricane, but
and a hurricane just lasts so long though that's where it really the lasting effects is what really hits it. So
yeah.
Derek, I got some questions here.
Okay.
Let me throw one up here real quick. Jen Vicky asked, how do these April tornadoes compare to historical trends in terms of frequency and intensity?
So I know I think Oklahoma is setting some records with the number of tornadoes. So that's pretty interesting considering Oklahoma's history. I mean, we've had a lot of tornadoes. I know we had 22 the other day. I think the record that we set was the number of tornado warnings issued in a single day. I think we set the all-time record for that. Not the number of tornadoes, but the actual warnings, which tells you how active the day was. Right. The all-time record, like so team of meteorologists, we're always talking weather. So we were just talking about kind of statistically. So so John Choquette, our lead meteorologist, kind of talking about some of the numbers. So at least 280 confirmed tornadoes in 2024 is now the second most active April on record for tornadoes. So it's a really active April, but it is not anywhere close to 2011, which is the record. Okay. So the top five looks like it's 2011, 770 tornadoes in 2011.
In April.
So what is this year? 220, 280. So 500 away. You'd have to triple this year's tornadoes.
Were these more intensive than the ones in 2011?
No, okay. They were F5s. There were three F5s. 2011 is the deadliest tornado year in U.S. So the big one that everybody knows is the super outbreak, April 28th. There were 292 tornadoes in one day, three EF5 tornadoes that day, several EF4 tornadoes that day. I think 350 people were killed that day. We had two or three the other day. It's just an absurd.
That was Joplin, right? Is that the year Joplin?
Joplin was 2011, but that was May of 2011. Okay. So I mean, just keeps going into what 2011 did. So you had Joplin in 2011. That was also a big day, but the super outbreak was Tuscaloosa. You see the video from Tuscaloosa, and Birmingham was hit, and several other towns in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia all had. It's kind of where that super outbreak was really impactful on.
So if that April was that intensive and it turned into that May, which we knew was really intensive too, is mm-hmm. this just a sign of things to come then? Should we be preparing for more tornadoes this next month?
I think so. It's never a guarantee in weather, right? 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 in weather a lot of times. I can't say we've already looked. I mean, we're in range of a lot of several, long range forecast models. It's a pretty active pattern that we're in right now. So the jet stream is pretty amplified. There's a lot of troughs that are kicking out. It looks like they're going to continue for at least the next couple of weeks. So, with that being said, it looks like the first 2 weeks of May look pretty active. So it's tough to say, will that continue for the rest of May? But our forecast that we put out at the beginning of the year, though, was for this was kind of what we thought would happen. In fact, it's almost been dead on with the location. So we even said, the Southeast would be average to potentially even below average, which is, you do take account history, and history has said the Southeast has been the mark for the last several years. And so we forecasted that it would be the plains. And actually we said the most active region in the country would be Eastern Nebraska, Iowa, Northern Illinois, which has been just absurd this year. Finally a little further south, the last couple of weeks has gotten into play down into Texas and Oklahoma.
We got a question here on Facebook. It said, how can individuals and families best prepare for tornado emergencies? And what should they do during a tornado warning?
Awesome. Great, great, great question. So the first thing that I can tell you, the best thing that you can do is a day that tornadoes are forecast, and it doesn't have to be a big day, right? If there's a chance of tornadoes, you should have a plan just in case. Now, having a plan doesn't mean cancel everything, sit at home and watch TV and wait to see if there's going to be a tornado coming. It just means if a tornado happens and I'm not at home, this is what I'm going to do. Just be ready for it, right? Now, what are some things that you should do? It might mean that, again, I'm just going to be weather aware. So I'm going to be watching the weather. And when the storms start to get close to my hometown, I'm going to go home, right? So it's 7 o'clock. I'm watching my local weather coverage and the storms are an hour away. I'm going to go ahead and drive home just so I have where my safe place is. Or I know there's a safe place where I'm at, so I'm great. If a tornado hits, I know where I'm going to go. That's what I'm going to do.
So the worst place to be is traveling.
Yeah. You don't want to be traveling, right? This is what I see out of the public. So as a storm chaser, I get to, I know what the tornado is doing. So, I'm watching it on radar. I have lots of tools that the public doesn't have with me when I'm chasing these storms. But the things that I see the public do, that it's extremely unsafe. Park under an overpass. They get scared. It starts hailing, right? I don't want my car to get damaged. So they park under the overpass. They block. They block the overpass. Mm-hmm. And when they block that overpass, it blocks all traffic on the highway. Okay. Well, if there's a tornado coming, I don't really care about hail, right? I do not want to be under the overpass when the tornado hits. And so if you block traffic, literally nobody can go anywhere. We're all setting ducks. So you get scared and you do. So when people get scared, they do, it's either fight or flight. Right. But in this case, it's usually people slow down and stop, like, okay, so I don't know where the storm is, so I'm just not going to move. Okay. Well, that good if it's not coming your way, but if it's coming your way, that's not a wise choice. Or, you know, they try to find a place to hide. And so typically what we see is, like, I'm like, there's a tornado coming. I know where it is. It's coming at me and you are blocking me from getting where I need to be. But you're also putting yourself in danger at the same time. So you just don't want to be on the road because it's just tough to know where to go. But, you know, at home, if you don't have a storm shelter, you know, center part of your house, no windows. So you don't want any windows. You need to be on the bottom floor. Most homes, like an EF3 type tornado, if you're in the center part of your home, like, you might lose, EF3 or weaker, you might lose your roof, you know, some walls, especially some exterior walls, windows, stuff like that. Center part of your house is probably going to be okay. You know, so it's going to be a sucky wild ride, but most likely you're going to be okay. But some other things, if you have a helmet, put a helmet on. I've seen people put like a pot, like over their head. It's typically not the wind that's going to get you. It's the debris. So anything you can put to kind of block that. I've seen people that'll take a mattress out of off of a bed and put it in the closet that they're going to be in, and then put the mattress on top of themselves. If you're going to get hit by the tornado, anything you can do to put as many barriers between you and debris, is the best thing that you can do. But to do that, remember, that requires a plan, right? So don't wait until the tornado warning's issued and it's going to hit in 7 minutes for you to say, okay, what do I need to do? It's too late by then, right? So you plan, you just say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then you just go about life. And then if a tornado warning's issued, you know what you're going to do. And so it's not a try to figure out. You just go do it.
No, that makes sense. And there's so much to consider in those situations that people aren't really thinking about. So those are good tips. Derek, man, it's going to be an active year. Contractors, if you guys aren't connected to Derek and Hail Trace, you guys need to be, because you know, you guys forecasted this, you guys gave people plenty of warning, and now contractors are being activated because of these storms. Good opportunities, but you guys provide them the right data and the right data points, and so we really appreciate what you guys do, and thank you for what all that you do for the industry.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to get to talk shop, especially when it has to do with weather.
And you know, also thank you for doing it, but thank you for letting yourself be used on the new Twister movie.
That's pretty cool. I'm not sure how much it's used yet. I know you're going to see that truck in there. That truck was used quite a bit. July 19th is when it comes out. I know we are planning some pretty cool stuff here in Oklahoma. Like, I think, I'm not 100% sure. I think we're going to rent out a drive-in movie theater and have some contractors out and just kind of do
Some heads up on that.
Yeah, we definitely will. So I know big events that we have that coming up in July. We also have our hurricane forecast that we're going to do down in Florida. Okay. So down in Orlando in June, that'll be exciting. So yeah, lots of fun weather stuff coming up this year.
Let's go. Well, it's awesome. And you guys have done a great job. So thank you for everything you do. And you guys need to connect with Hail Trace. Go do it. HailTrace.com. Their team is amazing. And what they do is really second to none in our industry. So thanks for leading the charge and doing such a great job to help support contractors.
Yeah, anything we can do, we love it. We enjoy it.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, Derek. Have a good rest of your day, man. So that was Derek Klein with Hail Trace. I'm just telling you guys want to check them out. They are incredible, and they're such an awesome company to work with. So, all right, guys, stay tuned. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to share the FTC banning non-competes, and we're going to get Josh Sparks's view on that. He's the CEO of Infinity Home Services, which is one of the largest private equity-backed roofing companies. And then we're also going to touch on the peak performance report by Jobnimbus, and I got some really cool stats to share with you guys today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you're in the contracting business, you know how tough it can be to stand out and scale up. That's why I'm excited to talk about Infinity Home Services, a name that's becoming synonymous with success in the roofing industry. Backed by private equity and with a track record of phenomenal growth, they're the partners you've been dreaming of. Here's the invitation to you guys. Infinity Home Services is looking for partners like you. They believe in building strong, mutually beneficial relationships that drive success. And to get the ball rolling, they're offering your business a free evaluation. Imagine getting personalized insights from industry leaders on elevating your business. All you need to do is click the link in the comments or our show notes, and you can get started right away. And this could be the game changer you've been waiting for. So don't hesitate. Click that link and get your free evaluation. Hey, want to ace every sales appointment? Then you got to meet Rilla, your new secret weapon. This innovative technology captures your in-home sales presentations and then analyzes the audio to give you personalized feedback. It's like having a coach with you at every step, helping you refine your approach, boost your confidence, and close more deals. Whether you're looking to sharpen your pitch or handle objections more effectively, Rilla provides the insights you need to grow and succeed. Elevate your sales game with Rilla. Visit the Rilla link in our comments or show notes and start transforming your sales approach today. So, huge news. The FTC has decided to ban non-competes. And so non-competes have been pretty widely used within the restoration roofing industry for a number of years now. And I was really interested to find out exactly what that means for our industry and get some perspective from it. And luckily for us, Josh Sparks is here from Infinity Home Services. Josh Sparks, man, thanks for joining us today.
What's going on, John? How are we doing?
I'm doing great.
Big news, right?
Big news. Huge news. FTC has banned non-competes. I was curious to hear what you guys had to say about it. If you guys don't know who Josh is in Infinity Home Services, you guys are one of the largest roofing contractors in the nation. If not the largest residential roofing contractor in the nation.
We're getting close.
Getting close, right? Yeah, there you go. And but you guys are private equity backed, so you guys have a pretty unique perspective on this. And so I was curious what your thoughts were about this new ban that came down from the FTC.
Well, I think there's a dichotomy here. Is it an overreach by the FTC? That's probably one question. Other question is, how is this going to impact the roofing industry? How is it going to impact IHS? And I think it's much ado about nothing, to be honest with you. First of all, it only impacts folks who make less than $150,000 a year. So most non-competes in our business are relegated to sales staff, maybe some high-end production people, and potentially executives on the team. And the vast majority of those folks are making more than $150,000 a year. So that's typically not a problem. But I'd say more importantly, it goes to the culture of your organization. If you are holding on to employees and your relationship is so fragile that the only thing keeping them employed with you is a legal binding contract, I think you probably have other things going on that you need to solve.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and I can appreciate that. I think that a lot of contractors use them to try to keep people from leaving their businesses. That's typically why you see them a lot of times. That's when they try to enforce them. Someone leaves, starts their own company, or leaves to a competitor, and they're like, oh, we got to go after them because they had a non-compete. And that's usually the case of what happens within our industry. But so I can see, whereas if you have good culture and you have a good business and you are doing things the right way, people aren't just going to leave. That's the reality, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so we create a framework in our brands that we call the triad. So it's our people, our customers, and our prosperity. And from a people perspective, it's really important that our brand leaders are taking the time to engage with their people. They're giving them upward momentum. They're giving them career paths. They're giving them leadership and development. If you're not doing this, you're not supporting your people. They don't want to be there. Do you really want to force them to stay?
Right.
So, and I think one thing that often gets confused is you lump in non-compete with everything else. And so just because someone's under a non-compete or they don't allow non-competes, it doesn't mean that they can take your customers, they can take your intellectual property and things like that. So there is a difference there.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people understand, like, there is way different things. There's all types of protecting intellectual property. There's ways that you can still protect your trade secrets per se. Non-compete doesn't necessarily do that.
So not at all.
Totally different. Not totally different conversation.
Yeah.
But you mentioned something early on, and I was curious what you meant by this and kind of get some perspective on this. Is it an overreach though? That's the part that I think a lot of people are shocked by it. Like, that's, can the FTC ban something like this? Is that possible? What does that mean? If there's going to be challenges for sure, right?
Yeah, this will be a challenge in court. And we had talked before we came on air here that Chamber of Commerce are coming together and they're gonna challenge this. So as far as the legality goes, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But again, I would go back to the fact that if you have a good culture in your organization, you know, our culture, our core values at IHS are integrity, hard work, and service. We believe in taking care of our people. We believe in giving them upward mobility inside the organization. And I fundamentally believe if you do that, you're not going to get this mass migration of people out of your business because, again, you can't hold on to them through this legal binding contract.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So bottom line is this is going to happen probably, mm-hmm. right? These not compete are going to go away, but they've already kind of been a relic in a lot of ways for at least good companies.
They have. And anytime they're challenged in court, you know, judges are always going to side on, most of the time, going to side on behalf of the employee. If somebody came into your business with a certain skill set, whether it be production or whether it be sales, and they take that skill set, maybe they improve upon it when they're working inside your organization, you can't stop them from going out and getting a job somewhere else. Right. It's just not the right thing to do.
Right. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So thank you for giving us some enlightened viewpoints on this, because this is something that I think a lot of people were shocked that this was going down. But at the same time, I think it's also been, I think a lot of people have tried to challenge those in the past and try to take them to court and found out it's not that easy to enforce a non-compete.
It's not. And you see, the only ones that are ever enforceable were very local geography, you know, 25, 50 miles, very short period of time.
Yeah.
I would see these non-competes where it'd be nationwide. You can never roof ever again in the country for an indefinite period of time. And it's like, this is not enforceable. So,
right.
Yeah.
Makes sense, man. Yep. Well, thanks for your input.
Of course.
All right, guys. So FTC has banned non-competes and we'll see what happens. But thank you, Josh Sparks, for that enlightened piece of information there, for sharing some of your knowledge. If you guys want to see the full interview, we actually did a live last night, kind of impromptu, but we went live and had Josh with us, and he shared a lot about private equity and what's going on right now in that space. We recorded all that, so it is on our podcast as well as all of our social media channels. So make sure to go check it out. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, every one of these episodes ends up on our podcast, so you're welcome to listen to them later. You can find them on Spotify, Apple, you know, pretty much every podcast platform out there has American Contractor Show on there. So make sure to check them out. All right, guys, final segment of the day. And this one I'm excited about because these are always so much fun to go over. If you guys haven't had a chance yet, you need to go to JobNimbus and check out what is called the Peak Performance Report. This is it's huge. It's got tons of stats, tons of things about our industry. Tells you what other contractors are doing and what they're not doing, how really high revenue, high profitable contractors do versus regular base contractors. And it's a really awesome report. So today we're going to talk about, this is on page 78 of the report. And it's basically going over how much time per week do you spend training your sales and office employees? So pretty interesting question, right? How much time is spent in training? It's probably a good thing to spend time in training, but the results may surprise you. According to this report, less than an hour, 30% of contractors that are base contractors, which is that top line right there on that report, it's kind of hard to see. So, but it says right there, 30% of those, and that's the base contractors, those are contractors that are not high revenue or high profitable contractors, are spending less than an hour a week training their office and sales staff. What's interesting, on the flip side of that, 29% of the high profitable and high revenue contractors are spending more than 4 hours a week. That's at the very bottom there. Versus base contractors, only 20% of them are spending more than 4 hours a week training their employees. So basically, the bottom line is high profitability and high revenue companies generally spend more time training their sales and office employees. Figures, huh? If you want to be high profitability, you want to be high revenue, you probably need to invest more in training and more in helping your employees become all that they can be, since they are the ones that are making your company a reality. So if you're not spending time on training, this is a great report to look at that. It says how to nail it. While training has its place in the work week, but don't let it take over your employee schedules to the point that there isn't time to get projects done. I love this report. If you haven't had a chance to go grab it, we put a link for it inside of our comments. Grab one of these reports, go through it, figure out little things that you can add to your business or maybe take away from your business that you didn't know about. But there's all kinds of stuff in there, from sales, marketing, cash flow, your customer experience, things like training like this, how to hire people, what other companies are doing, the trends among the industry. This report has it all, and we try to bring you a piece of this every week. But I encourage you guys to go check out the Job Nimbus Peak Performance Report. This is like one of my favorite pieces of information in our industry because no one else has ever done it. So go check that out. It's freaking awesome. All right, guys. I really appreciate you watching the episode today. Hopefully you guys got some great information. If you haven't had a chance yet, you can always rewatch these episodes. They are always archived on our YouTube as well as here on Facebook or wherever else that you're watching this. And then we also put them on the podcast. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, go check it out. If you listen to podcasts on Apple or Spotify or Amazon or wherever you listen, Google, they're there. The podcasts are there. Every episode of the American Contractor Show Live is there. So make sure to go check them out. Thanks so much for watching today. I really appreciate it, guys. Hopefully you leave today feeling equipped, empowered, and motivated to do something awesome, because that's what contractors do in America. They build awesome things. So go build something awesome. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us today on the American Contractor Show. Be sure to subscribe, hit that thumbs up, and leave your comments below. We'll see you guys in the next one.